In about 20 minutes from right now, a conversation with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. But as promised, joining us to break down last night's championship game. You've already got my point of view. Let's get somebody else's. A senior writer for Sports Illustrated, recipient of 18 national awards from the Associated Press sports editor. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, a panelist on my daily TV show back in the day. He is Pat Forty. Pat, great to have you back. How are you, Pat?
Hey, Jim. Good to be with you again.
Great to have you here, Pat. So take me back, Pat, to before the actual demolition started last night, before opening tip, what kind of expectations did you have for what we were going to get from Gonzaga and Baylor?
I was fully expecting a great game, super competitive, you know, probably down to the wire, two teams that had been, you know, dominant all season, and boy, did that not play out. And it was just pretty shocking that from the absolute first possession onward, Baylor was just way better, much more intense, much more aggressive, probably had much more in the tank after Saturday. Physically tougher, faster, more athletic, better coached, everything. I mean, it was an amazing mismatch, and it became, you know, pretty evident after like 3 minutes when Jalen Suggs got his second foul and it was 9-0. You're like, oh boy, this thing is headed towards a beatdown status.
Pat Forty joining us. Pat, I agree with you. I mean, they dominated literally every single matchup, every single aspect of that game. What about the foul trouble that Suggs got into? I'm not sure that would have made a difference anyway, but how costly was that for Gonzaga that he picked up that second foul so quickly?
I think it was very costly, especially, you know, he's their special talent and their best athlete by far. And you take him out, and the athletic mismatch becomes more pronounced on the perimeter, you know, with Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler and Flagler and Teague. I mean, the guards for Baylor are just so fast and tough, and, you know, just they're great players. And you take the one guy out who can match the athleticism and the toughness, and that was an immediate sign that Gonzaga was in for a long night.
Pat Forty is joining us once again. Yeah, Pat, I have to say that watching them attack the offensive glass the way they did and defend the perimeter the way they did, you knew that Gonzaga was in some really, really deep trouble. If you had to pick, Pat, what was more impressive to you about Baylor's performance, their offense or their defense?
Oh, boy. You know, I would say probably their defense, just because Gonzaga had been such a brilliant offensive team, and they took away so much from them. You know, the pick and roll game that had been so devastating, you know, what they carved up USC with and several other teams, they took that away. I mean, Timmy was overmatched, and he had, you know, Drew Timmy had a great tournament, but if I were him, I would walk away from this saying, I need 5 months in the weight room, because I'm not strong enough to handle, you know, the kind of guys that you would see in the NBA or again in college. And, you know, they pushed him around. They shut down the guard play. And again, Suggs being out of there for most of a lot of the first half, I think was a major issue. So I give Baylor a lot of credit. They had him scouted really well. They were prepared and they were relentless. And it was really interesting, Jim, that before the game, the Baylor staff watched Gonzaga's warm-ups as close as I've ever seen them a coaching staff watch the other team. Like, they watched every shot, every movement. You know, I don't know whether they were looking for injuries or susceptibilities or what, but, like, they were as locked in as I've ever seen on an opponent.
We're talking to Pat Forty. So, Pat, what about Baylor then? In terms of that, I mean, you pointed this out. They're the first team since the Lou Alcindor UCLA teams to win both games of the Final Four by at least 15 points. What does that tell you about how good and how dominant this crew is?
Yeah, you know what? I have to acknowledge a small error there, but Villanova did it as well in 2018. So they're the second team in the last 53 years to do that. But still, that's rare territory. And yeah, I mean, when really the tell was there on Saturday, you know, that Baylor did to Houston what they ultimately did to Gonzaga, that they were really ready to play their best basketball. And at the same time, Gonzaga was, you know, life and death to beat a number 11 seed UCLA. That if you just watched those two games, you had to walk away saying, oh my gosh, Baylor's playing at a much higher level. So they did. And you know, Scott Drew said afterwards, usually you have to get lucky somewhere along the way to win a title. They never did. They won every game handily.
Didn't have to. Pat Forty joining us, a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. So, Pat, what about Scott Drew? For instance, he has been criticized, or was, for cheating in the past, for crashing out of the NCAA tournament way too early. Now that he's won an NCAA championship, how would you describe his reputation among other coaches and around the sport right now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It has definitely evolved, and I think this is the final evolution. You know, there was criticism of him for some of the recruiting tactics. I think he was over-aggressive early in his career and learned from some of the mistakes. I mean, he got publicly bashed by Rick Barnes and Bobby Knight and some other people, and I think he cleaned up that part of things. And then, yeah, the question was his coaching. I mean, you know, he used to rely on his zone, and his teams weren't very good man-to-man, and they just would be susceptible to these inexplicable flops in the tournament, and that's all long gone. You know, I mean, they've got guys now. They need no gimmicks. They need no tricks. He has put together great teams 2 years in a row. Last year, they may have won it if there was a tournament then too. And I think this stamps Scott Drew as an absolutely elite coach.
No doubt. Pat Forty joining us. So, Pat, of course, there is a rush in by some to try to discredit Gonzaga and what they did. I would argue that they beat four top 20 teams in their first seven games this year. They went undefeated in the regular season, the conference tournament. They beat a Big 12 team. They beat two Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament. So easy if you want to take a run at them. I think that's just it's lame. It's not a good take. In your mind, how good was this Gonzaga group this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you don't get to 31-0, you know, by being overrated. I mean, they had a phenomenal season. As you said, early on, they were blasting teams from the power conferences. And then in the tournament, they were blasting everybody until they got to UCLA. So they were an excellent team. Mark Few will win a national title. It's just a matter of when. He's going to keep recruiting better and better players, and they're going to be there. You know, you just keep knocking on the door. Eventually it opens. Phil Mickelson, you know, people, oh, he's never going to win a major. Well, once he wins one, he wins five. I mean, I would not be shocked if Mark Few ends up with multiple national titles. And he's certainly going to win one. So I'm not buying that criticism. The only thing that I would say that just watching last night, maybe the quality of big men that they had faced throughout this tournament and physicality of the big men and in the West Coast Conference was not what they saw against Baylor. Like Drew Timmy was way too soft and casual. And, he got knocked around. He didn't get rebounds. And I think that's the kind of thing where if you spend a season playing in the West Coast Conference, maybe there is a reality check at the end.
I think that's fair. That was a physical beatdown. Baylor is so physical. They're so aggressive. Pat, before you go, the shot that Jalen Suggs hit to beat UCLA and send Gonzaga into the championship game was absolutely legendary, a legendary end to a legendary game. Does it lose any of its luster because of how last night went, or is that going to always be special?
Well, I think it'll definitely always be special, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, that's one of those games that people will talk about. Oh, where were you when it happened? And, you know, what was your reaction for a long, long time? It does probably, in retrospect, take it down a notch. Like, you know, when Leitner made his shot, well, it wasn't the end of the season. They had to win two more games, but they did win them. So that Duke team won a national championship and needed that shot to get to the championship. Chris Jenkins' shot for Villanova 5 years ago was for the national championship. This shot, while just, you know, I mean, the last sequence and the other sequences in that game was so phenomenal, and I think we'll always remember them, but maybe now after not just losing but getting hammered in that championship game, it does take just a tiny bit of the shine off.
Pat Forty, my guest. One last thought, Pat, if you don't mind. The other piece of news in college basketball, Hubert Davis named head coach of North Carolina. Of course, they keep it within family. How do you like that fit for him and for them?
I think it's total wait and see. You know, I can't say it's a bad hire because we don't know. Can't say it's a good hire because we don't know. We have not seen Hubert Davis as a head coach at any level, so was he sitting there learning from Roy Williams, who was one of the all-time greats? Yes. But was he also part of the staff that led to some underachieving here the last two seasons? Yes. So, you know, I think just kind of repeating what had been going on doesn't necessarily prove that you can fix anything. He's got some proving to do here to show that he can get North Carolina back to where it was in 2017 and earlier, as opposed to where it is right now. You know, that this is Carolina. I'm not surprised they kept it within the family, but eventually you got to go outside the family. Maybe this would have been the time to do it. I think there would have been some people really interested in the job, but you weren't going to get a Brad Stevens. You weren't going to get a Billy Donovan. You weren't going to get Jay Wright. You weren't going to get Mark Few. So, you know, if you weren't going to get the absolute grand slam, maybe this is what you do and just see how it works.
He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and, again, the recipient of 18 national awards from the Associated Press sports editor. And you can listen to him as the co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, Pat Forty, my guest. Pat, thanks so much. Great job as always, and always good to have you on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Good to talk to you again.
My man, Pat Forty, one of the best journos in our business. Love talking to Pat. 1-800-636-8686. So where do you come out on any of that? I happen to agree with pretty much everything he said. They were just outclassed, outplayed, out-hustled, out-everything. There was not a single matchup on the floor last night, either amongst the players or the coaches or otherwise, that Baylor did not dominate. Not one single matchup. They were that much better. They simply were that much better. But don't come up in here looking to discredit Gonzaga or Mark Few or the conference they play in. Them, they ran into a buzzsaw. They got beat by a better team. It doesn't mean they're not a great team.